and welcome to another edition of Visions. I am Yurali Wickham Ashby, and today is my good old friend Sinclair Brown in with me, and we'll have a really powerful discussion about COVID-19, the coronavirus, and its impact and some of the thoughts that persons with disabilities have as we look at this serious pandemic spreading across the world. So that, as the World Health Organization have said, don't leave persons with disabilities behind. Welcome to the program, Sinclair.
Welcome. Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Sinclair. I'm great.
Wonderful.
So today you're the one in this hot seat asking me the questions.
And which puts you in the hot seat.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so they'll be hosting as we go through the series as we question you and query, so that we have a first-hand opinion from your perspective of issues concerning Barbados, the region, and the world. And today we'll be definitely looking at the hot topic, the topic that everyone is discussing. We would like to discuss something else, but unfortunately or fortunately, this is what people are concerned about. And today we want to have your opinion or your insight in relation to disabilities and the COVID virus in Barbados. Personally, how has it been impacting you?
Well, so, as Barbadians would say. I don't think it has significantly impacted me in a negative way. It just has continued to ensure and heighten the awareness around cleanliness, where we are constantly reminded to wash our hands with soap and water, and even have demonstrations of the techniques to use in washing our hands, and just generally keeping around us our surfaces, light switches, doorknobs, counters, tabletops, just those type of surfaces that we are touching on a regular basis, or placing items that we will use on a regular basis, keeping them very clean and safe for us and our family's protection.
Okay. Emotionally, how has this whole concept or the whole behavior, the anxiety, if personally, so I want to talk to you, Yudley, first, how have you been feeling in the midst of this anxious environment?
Well, truthfully, Sinclair, I do not feel anxious. I do not feel worried about it. I am concerned about the well-being and the safety of everyone, but more especially persons who are very vulnerable, including the elderly, persons with disabilities, young children, people with NCDs, you know. So it's something, it's a virus that will really touch every single human being, or could touch every single human being, every family, every community, as we are seeing all the nations throughout the world. But personally, I don't feel anxious. I don't feel worried. I'm just at peace with me and my environment and my surroundings. And as a result of that, I feel that concern for others and would think of how I can provide some measure of assistance and support to those individuals.
For those that may have never listened to the program before, Yuli Wickham Ashby is blind, because there's a difference between visually impaired and blind, and giving her insight or how she sees things from her perspective. So with this program, also, there's a statement I'm going to toss to you, and I want to hear your perspective on it. People with disability feel as though they have been left behind. What are your thoughts on that statement?
Well, that is a natural feeling. I think that some individuals with disabilities, as well as other groupings, would experience. Because when we hear the majority of the messages coming via the media, it's generally about the elderly, persons with non-communicable diseases, and young people, you know, children. So you don't directly hear the phrase persons with disabilities. So immediately, some people may feel a bit left out by not being mentioned. Then when we think of some of the measures that are being put in place, not only in Barbados, but throughout the world, again, how will those measures really impact persons with disabilities? Because for sure, there are some individuals with disabilities who are unable to wash their hands themselves.
Okay.
Then there are individuals who will be experience great difficulty with the concept of social distancing, because again, some persons with disabilities rely very heavily on caregivers for that support. Let's take a person who's quadriplegic, paralyzed from the neck down, and maybe unable to even do basic things with their hands, outstretch them or anything. They have to rely on another individual to provide that care in terms of bathing them, feeding them, turning them in the bed, or moving them from bed to chair. So the social distancing will be a bit difficult for some persons with disabilities to practice. And this concept of social distancing may also bring some measure of anxiety to those individuals. So, you know, again, when we look at the medical services that are being provided, previously before COVID-19, some individuals with disabilities found it very difficult to truly access good medical care. So now with COVID-19 and with some countries tossing out that idea of let's look at the most valuable people, those who may be rich, those who may be, you know, very agile and physically mobile to move around and so on, then so many other negatives could come into place that would bombard an individual's mind about being left behind.
Okay, wonderful. You had mentioned to me earlier, and I really love the perspective, because many of us would not have included persons that had surgeries like the diabetics and so forth in this season where healthcare is not as easily accessible. We talk about physically, economically, having the ability to stockpile groceries and the like. So those people that are, we may not even include, even when we think about people that have disabilities, because I think you mentioned how wide the spectrum is of those persons that have disabilities. Yeah, so when it comes to the those persons that we are not even thinking about, how difficult you find from, you know, from your occupation and likewise.
Well, I know for sure that within the disabled community, there is some measure of worry about the whole topic of stockpiling, because yes, like every population in the world, we will have those who are wealthy and financially able to support themselves and sustain themselves comfortably. And then you have those at the bottom end of the spectrum that don't have the finances to even care for themselves in terms of feeding themselves or their families. So here it is where many persons will be able to go to the supermarket, shop, purchase, stockpile, and have in storage for themselves and their families. Some people, a percentage of persons with disabilities, those living in poverty, will be unable to do that because they're relying on national assistance through the government, or some churches do provide national assistance as well to some of their members. And some of the organizations, you know, the Kiwanis and other groupings that do provide regular hampers to other needy persons, these individuals, this grouping within the vulnerable population, have to wait and rely on these measures before they can go to the supermarket or arrange for someone to go to the supermarket to purchase basic groceries. And we're not even thinking about stockpiling, keeping some in you know, in storage for a little later in the eventuality of a shutdown or, you know, other serious measures if we had to go to level 3. So this impacts the individual psychologically because they start to get a little worried and concerned about what will happen. And one of the other points that I want to raise here, Sinclair, is that with the situation here now with COVID-19 and we're encouraged to remain at home, I think we kind of have a sense of like, oh, okay, everything is harmonious right now. But there are some families that are still experiencing family conflict. And there are some families that prior to COVID-19 were abusing some family members with disabilities. So these individuals are still thinking of, how will I cope? How will I manage with the emotional conflict, or maybe even some of the physical abuse and the financial abuse that persons with disabilities and elderly and other vulnerable groupings experience from time to time, or maybe even on a long-term basis. So now with COVID-19, it pushes them into another area of trying to find coping or even better coping mechanisms.
Also, you had mentioned to me in relation to allowing this program to expand our minds of disabilities and how we need to be aware, educated, and to include. And you mentioned there was there's a percentage of the disabled community that are both deaf and blind.
Yes.
And then there's another grouping where we're talking about intellectually, they don't have the capacity to understand. There's some that may be able to have a sense or understand some mm-hmm. basic information. Mm-hmm. But then there are those within the disabled community that don't have the capacity to comprehend what is happening in yes. this environment and how vulnerable they are, because they're depending definitely at least one individual, and how that can also impact these two groups.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, sometimes when we talk about people with disabilities, persons living with disabilities, because the public tend to see the blind, the deaf, the wheelchair users, or those with other physical disabilities, there's a tendency not to remember those individuals who are hidden from society to some degree because they have double or triple disabilities, like the person who may be blind and deaf, the person who may be a double amputee and also blind, or the individual that you just referred to, Sinclair, who are intellectually challenged. And yes, you have the mild who will be able to understand basic information once it's provided either in a pictorial format or in a very easy to read format. And then you have the other end of the spectrum, those who are severely intellectually challenged and will not have the cognitive ability to understand the information that is being shared. So they have to rely very heavily on the caregiver, that individual, whether it's a neighbor, a family member, a friend, someone from church. They have to rely on that caregiver, that primary caregiver, to provide, you know, basic needs in terms of getting information across to them, or feeding them, or, you know, bathing them and changing them, or taking them out to appointments and so on. So therefore, we also have to encourage the caregivers to care for themselves, because that's one of the other challenges that we're faced with in the disabled community. The caregivers tend to suffer from burnout, or they themselves become ill after a while from the constant care and not having, that facility for respite for themselves. You know, they may not have the finances that you can pay another individual to come in maybe for a period of time during the day and get some release, some moment for you to also heal yourself and just be in tune with yourself, you know, do things, personal things for yourself. So, again, COVID-19 to me is providing an opportunity for us to really look at our systems and our programs and try to improve, or where there are no existing programs or systems, now you can build in some new programs, new systems to provide better care, better opportunities for people with disabilities and other vulnerable groupings.
In relation to those persons that have disabilities that kinetic, they need to touch, because there are many of those that need to be, if I expand the umbrella into people that have autism, and there's some groupings that need to be touched. They need to be touched. It is not an option, really. Mm-hmm. And we go with that. How challenging it is, where even with the disabled community, and once again, we talk about percentage within that percentage, and it's not a small number. I think we discussed, is globally is estimated at 1 billion people in the world. 1 billion people in the world. And that's 15% of the population live with some type of disability. Mm-hmm. And I think you broke down that number for Barbados. It's estimated roughly...
14,000 persons. And that was from our last housing and population census. And we're getting ready for another housing and population census this year. So we'll see how that plays out in the light of what's happening, how things are unfolding with the COVID virus. But what I will say, Sinclair, is that, again, because of the nature of disabilities, yes, some of us have to be touched, and some of us have to touch in order to be able to move independently and a whole set of other, complete other tasks. It's a very individual thing. It's a very individual thing. So we, too, have to take responsibility and protect ourselves, and therefore, don't go unnecessarily where we have to, you know, engage other individuals to do the touching. But there are some persons with disabilities who must touch and must be touched. And we can't get around that. We just need to do it in a very safe manner. That's my take on it. For me personally, going into work, you know, I adhere to a lot of the advice that is given in terms of trying not to touch. And if I do touch, I make sure I wash my hands with soap and water, and I wipe down my surfaces with the, you know, the hand sanitizer and alcohol, and just keep around me as safe and clean as possible. Social distancing for me is not overly challenging, because I walk with a cane and I try to do most things independently. I'm not saying that I don't touch people and, you know, walk with people, because I do need that assistance. As I say to many persons who offer assistance to me, I appreciate it because it allows me to move even at a quicker pace than if I'm using my cane and have to be feeling and finding my way through my path, or, you know, going wherever I'm going. So the touching is, you know, difficult to break, and we as a people like to touch as well. So you just have to be conscious and make your personal choices. And when you touch, just make sure that you wash and be safe.
Yeah, even in the environment of needing to touch, I guess with the panic and obviously there's a red zone, as they said, you know, 1 meter is the red zone for most individuals. And even if you say 10 meters... But we have decided that we're going to take 50 meters. We've totally gone to the other extreme. I know panic kicks in. Mm-hmm. But even with the those that are disabled, once again, there are those that are, as you said, visually and hearing, and they need to rely on the braille touching pads, the touching of those instruments and tools. So even in that, if I just want us to be able to, as we express, for us that are able to see how difficult, if we think that what we are going through could be anxious or difficult, how much more so those with disabilities?
Right. And I think part of a larger part of this picture is that feeling of isolation. You know, the social distancing, yes, you're standing far away from me, but at the same time, you know, it still projects a distancing psychologically, socially. And therefore, that, along with having to remain at home, can bring some feelings of insecurity and isolation. And I think we need to speak to this in terms of encouraging people. No, it's not you. It's not, you know, your condition, your disability. But because of the COVID-19, we just want to be as protective as possible and be as safe as possible by keeping that physical distance. But remember, there's the telephone that you can use to make phone calls and keep your spirits up and just generally keep your feelings on the positive level rather than the negative.
In relation to the dissemination of information, I think, honestly, I think that our government or the powers that be are doing an excellent job in the midst of this crisis. We've not been this weird before, locally, regionally, or internationally.
And these are uncertain times.
And these uncertain times. And I think that they're doing their best. However, with the disabled community, do you find that more could be done in relation to the distribution of information?
Well, I have to agree with you, Sinclair. The Government Information Service, the Government of Barbados, have really done well in providing information in accessible formats. And when we talk disability on this program, we're not just speaking to disability in Barbados, because this program has a very wide listenership throughout the region and internationally. And there are some countries, some places where information is not as easily or readily disseminated to people with disabilities in the most accessible format. Here, we have lots of information on radio. So the blind tend to listen quite a lot. So they will hear that because it's auditory. The deaf, they tend to use the electronic devices, the internet, the social media to gain information. And I must commend the disability groups as well, because they have formed several chats that allow people with disabilities to be well informed about what's happening locally, regionally, internationally about COVID-19, and some information in relation specifically to people with disabilities. So then we have, again, the deaf can also read, so they're able to read a lot of what is out there in the newspapers and, as I said, the social media. The challenge for this particular grouping would be the intellectually challenged. And this is where some of the messages are very simple that the mild to moderate with intellectual challenges can comprehend. But the other spectrum, you know, an individual, their caregiver, their relative, friend would have to just do the necessary things for those individuals who are unable to understand. But overall, it must give a thumbs up to the Government Information Service of Barbados for the excellent job they're doing in disseminating accurate information.
Let's look at, I know you're not a medical doctor in the forum, but you are an individual, so it's more your opinion. Where it would be a person that has disability and the challenge that if they were to catch the coronavirus, and they already, generally speaking, we without us deliberately doing it, but we social distance ourselves from those with disabilities. So now you have a person that have a disability and they have
coronavirus.
They have a coronavirus. It's not even there yet. Let's say not even a coronavirus. Let me change it. They have a cold. Mm-hmm. They have a cough. They have...
Oh, yeah. People immediately distance themselves, because right now in this season with COVID-19, persons are like, do you have COVID-19? Do you have the coronavirus? Or do you generally just have a cold? So because of that uncertainty as to whether the individual actually has the virus or not, they automatically distance themselves, which is understandable as well. Mm-hmm. But as I have said in the past, and I repeat myself again, we, the individuals with disabilities, really have to strengthen ourselves emotionally and don't take everything at a very personal level, that this person has done the social distancing simply because they have a disability, but that they too are concerned about their own health and safety. So if you cough, whether you have a disability or not, that individual will distance themselves. So, you know, just be cognizant of what is happening right now around the world, particularly in Barbados, which is even a smaller space than some other larger countries. And just be mindful that you do as much as you can to protect yourself and not put others in harm's way.
Well, what would you like us to do? Once again, your subjective opinion of a person that has a disability, they have contracted the COVID. Well, obviously, here the caregivers know that they have to depend on the caregivers, and now they're out to sea because they've now gone into being more vulnerable mm-hmm. in the vulnerable subset.
Well, as we have heard in all the messages, call the hotline 536-4500. Describe your symptoms, ask questions, and you will be guided accordingly. Then, what I want to really encourage persons with disabilities and persons generally is to really keep their immune system level at a high level. So therefore, you know, try to eat and use lots of foods and vitamins that would contain vitamin C and other minerals and essential, you know, vitamins that will help to build up and boost the body. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, you know, just exercise cleanliness all the time. And if you think you're exhibiting symptoms or your caregiver is exhibiting symptoms, have that conversation, you know, amongst yourself, and then work with the medical fraternity to go from there, so that you get the best advice possible and work to suit so that you preserve your health and your life.
So I really want to thank you, Yulia. I think we have been informed tremendously as, once again, from your insight, from your outside, from your vision, from your perspective, speaking on behalf of the disabled community in relation to the anxiety and panic and concern and worries that we may have, but also now to take into consideration the feelings and emotions of those of the disabled community in Barbados and how we can assist, how we can begin to understand, how we begin to build bridges to assist so that those that are within the vulnerable group, that they also feel as though they're part of the community of Barbados in the midst of this crisis. I really want to thank you, Ms. Yulia Bingham-Ashby.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much to Sinclair. And before we close off the program, I just want to encourage those of you who have access to the internet to visit the World Health Organization's website, because they do have quite a lot of information about COVID-19. You can also visit the International Disability Alliance website. They also have information that will share the perspective of and concerns around persons with living with disabilities and COVID-19. And of course, the Government Information Service here in Barbados. Again, lots of information that will help guide us and also help to calm us and not become so anxious and worried. Well, I have to say a very special thank you to Sinclair Brown for working with me and co-hosting so that we can really have a good conversation about COVID-19 and its impact, its effects on persons with disabilities. And I want to say a very special thank you to my technician today, David Daddy Biggs Howell, for doing such an excellent job each and every time. Remember, you can contact me, Yulia Bingham-Ashby, on 1-246-269-9660. You can WhatsApp me on that number as well, or via Starcom Network at 1-246-430-7300. Email at visionsbarbados@gmail.com, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can go to the VOB929.com website, look for the podcast link, and scroll until you find Visions, and you'll be able to listen to this and other episodes of Vision. So until next week, be safe. Do take excellent care of yourself, your family, and your friends as we win this battle with the COVID-19.